creators of the podcast dungeon, you have come across another goddamn horror podcast with Graham Fay, Jonas Barnes, and Ryan Danley.
A proud member of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network.
And we're just doing this shit, guys. Another goddamn horror podcast.
We're all introducing the show this time. What the fuck?
This is going to be
going off the rails, guys. It's already going off the rails.
It's already done. We've decided, so our guest canceled tonight, so you're going to get rambling episode. This episode was born in the back of a Greyhound bus.
Oh, that's a sad episode.
That is like the worst music reference I could ever make. You know what I mean? It's Allman Bros, isn't it? The Allman Bros.
Oh God, it is an Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that until you mentioned it. God damn it.
They're the bros. They're not the brothers. You know what I mean? It's like Dutch Bros. You know what I mean? Like there's no brothers. It's just bros.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The Allman Bros.
The Allman Bros.
Of all the music from my childhood, they're the ones that I never would have thought of again. I never would have. I've heard them so many times because of my dad.
Bro, you haven't been out here rambling. You know what I mean? Like, you're not a rambling man.
I'm not a rambling man.
I've rambled.
Yeah. I think you're still kind of rambling, Graham. I think you have a little ramble to you. So is that like swagger?
It's kind of like a swagger. Yeah.
All right, good.
You can ramble with a swagger.
Yeah, you can. You absolutely can.
Raggler.
I don't know if that works. But.
There's rambling, and then there's what we're doing here, which is just like this is like we're like a little too good of friends. You know what I mean? Like we're barely. Hello, everybody.
And also, like only two of us have seen the Thanksgiving movie, so like that's like the biggest.
We're
movie
not even
right
gonna
now.
Say hi to our listeners.
No,
we're like, listen, we're just here to do this. So hello, everybody. How's it going? I hope everybody's doing good out there in the land. I hope everybody is getting ready for these holidays and putting them in perspective and not letting the dark evil of the unholy union of capitalism and religion and tradition.
Xmas.
Xmas.
I love that you're like completely skipping the rape and pillage feast all the way to Christmas.
there needs to be more Thanksgiving horror, and I'm not bringing this up just to like try to make a fucking theme out of this episode.
No, but you're right.
Or push this Thanksgiving movie, but you know, there's like whenever people are like Thanksgiving movies, there's plane, trains, and automobiles, and then like Thanksgivings. And is Poultrygeist even a Thanksgiving
Poultrygeist is
one?
Sure. I mean, it's a fucking killer rubber turkey. I would say it's a Thanksgiving one.
Okay, fair enough. Any turkey based, I guess, horror? Is there any other turkey based? There's not a lot of Thanksgiving horror movies. And my wife and I were bringing this up. Or I was bringing up themed horror, and she was like, they really need to start making more Thanksgiving movies. Well, like, there isn't one in the theater right now.
Exactly.
Thanksgiving.
Right.
Like, we're already on the train. Like,
yeah.
Right.
It took 15 fucking years from when the trailer came out. So, yeah, you know, they're really on top of it, is what I'm saying.
That's true. Like,
I am praying to baby Satan every night that
Beelzebaby,
that Gen Z kills Thanksgiving. See, my idea is that we just have one holiday. All right. There's no Thanksgiving. There's no Christmas, and there's no New Year's. But on New Year's, we have like a combination of all 3 days where we eat a big meal with family. We give them one gift each, and then we usher in the new year by, you know, drinking and driving, you know, and like otherwise, it's a
very American celebration.
Right. I'm just saying we just have like one shot. We just do it all. We get two floating federal holidays where we can just, you know what I mean? Where we don't have to do that. We just get it all out of the way. We don't have to go through this. Like, this is ridiculous. This is like a quarter of our year basically focused on this stuff, like from like basically the beginning of October and like the harvest festival season. Like, you know, like I love Halloween, of course, but you know what, you could put Halloween in June and I'd still love it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like afraid. I'm actually not afraid of even two Halloweens or three. A quarterly Halloween, I'm here for. You know what I mean? I think anything, yeah, I think anything more than that would be too much. But so like, I guess I just kind of feel like it's just a lot of our lives devoted to this time of year. And I love the Thanksgiving thing because it is time we started like mocking this. You know, there's like barely even Thanksgiving. Like,
well, Adam's Family too.
Oh yeah, which is not a great movie, but it's
Adam's Family Values. The fuck it is! It's a great movie. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I don't know. I just watched it. I
will defend the shit out of that.
I just watched it, and it's no number.
When one. They force them to watch Disney movies and shit, that shit is good.
Yeah. So my.
Are you thinking about the cartoon one?
I am not thinking about the cartoon.
Not to derail this anymore, did you know that there's a shittier third one?
Yes.
It's called Adam's Family Reunion, and I'm so sad because fucking Tim Curry is playing Gomez, and that should be amazing. It's not. It's terrible. It's so bad.
It's like if you like fuck that up, I mean,
come on.
Like you got to be Rob Zombie. You know what I mean? Like it's
I hear what you're saying about the holidays. I fully disagree.
Hmm.
Really?
So
for as a podcast about horror movies, I want the themed horror movies.
Oh, I mean, okay, that's fair.
I'll fucking buy it. I'll deal with that shit. I've dealt with it my whole life. But if it's gonna get me new cool themed movies, yes. Listen, two,
Thanksgiving is just many, like the Boomer Super Bowl. You're
taking away awesome.
Boomer Super Bowl.
It is awesome. It is literally. That's a good point. It's literally the Columbus Day's older brother. You know what I mean?
I'm against celebrating Columbus.
Well, but
I'm against nothing else. Well,
if you're celebrating Columbus, then what are you celebrating Thanksgiving for? It's like it's
you can
like
celebrate it about. It's worse than Columbus. You can just reclaim it.
The Pilgrims were murderers.
So that be thankful for horror movies that have cool holiday themes.
Yeah, I think
I want more holidays.
You can still have that in just fake holidays.
I think
I love how much that stopped you in your tracks.
I think about it myself too. I'm like,
well, but I don't understand
fake holidays.
Yeah, because,
well, or sure like old do, holiday, right? Or like old holidays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, don't you also like 25% of the time like shit that's based in reality?
Well, here's the deal. It's like. This is like the argument.
Those are real numbers too. You're a numbers guy. Like, you said that the other episode.
so this is the reality of that. It's like, yeah, like I like those movies. Like, but would you give up gangster rap to remove poverty? Probably, right? Like you might be bummed you don't have any Mac Dre. But if like there was none of the suffering, we wouldn't have gotten gangster rap. And you're like, okay, I mean, just because good things are coming out of something terrible doesn't mean that the terribleness isn't existing to begin with.
I'm already working on Christmas. I start a war on Christmas as soon as they take the first shot.
That's fair too,
bro. I do.
Okay. So let me. I want to chime in.
As soon as I can take down Christmas, then I'll work on Thanksgiving. But I need to fill up for the fucking fight in December.
Dude, the Thanksgiving meal is terrible, though. It's like, it is like literally the worst meal ever. It all tastes exactly the same. I have worked in retail my whole life. I know what people buy, retail grocery. They buy the same things. Like, you buy three herbs. Out of the hundreds of herbs you can buy and spices, you buy three of them, and the gravy, the turkey, the everything, all tastes. And like, listen, I love sage, rosemary, and thyme, and parsley. I mean, I love those things.
What a fat podcast this has become.
But it's literally this one note flavor. It's like the one day of the year that Americans like cook all day, and the only thing we get is like a big table of brown butter. Like, you know what I mean?
Forgetting about the 4th of July.
But the 4th of July has the 4th of July has other shit. Like, you can bring whatever you want to 4th of July.
What?
4th of July is literally chips? 4th of July is the same fucking white potato food salad? Every time. It's fucking potato-based potato things. Buns? It's potato-based things, and it's hot dogs and hamburgers. That's what fucking
4th of July is. And they cook it all day. But and what do they have at
things,
the end?
I want to jump on this Thanksgiving meal thing, though, because I'll tell you this, Ryan. I was talking to people about this. I'm on your side with this for one very specific thing. Turkey is the shittiest meat that you can get for a dinner. Right. And the reason, and then the only thing that I have to say to prove that is, who the fuck ever goes out and says, you know what I'm going to buy tonight? A whole fucking turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
They do it once a year, and it's because the majority of the turkey sucks shit. Yep. The only part of it that's good is actually the thighs and the legs. The turkey breast is garbage. There's no way you can make it good.
No, right. It's out of respect for turkeys, which I have none, so I wish people would kill more turkeys. Yes. I agree there.
I love that you're like, I'm disrespecting turkeys.
You're like part of some sort of weird turkey, anti-turkey brigade.
I'm actually okay with that, though, because turkeys are fucking assholes. Yeah. If you've ever been around a turkey in real life, they are mean.
Yeah.
Birds.
They're just mean
fucking birds. I'm against them all. Except owls and flamingos.
Crows,
the only ones.
Crows, ravens, and owls. Those are my three top birds.
No, they're just goth birds. Owls are fine. Owls are fine because they're
crows
not
and ravens
really
are both
birds.
Smart as shit.
Yeah,
crows and ravens are great, good, smart fucking birds. I don't want that shit.
They will. They will actually form. They'll form a whole mob to kill us all. If we let them.
I don't like it.
If the crows can ever communicate with the dolphins, we as human beings are fucked.
Wait, how did you like Thanksgiving?
The movie?
Yeah. Ryan.
I think Thanksgiving, like, I mean, this has been a great end of the year for horror.
I've heard nothing but good stuff
about it. As far as I'm going to go about the Thanksgiving movie, and I think after you see it, we need to do a full review episode because it's that good. But my preview I think it could be arguably my favorite movie of the year. I mean, it's and I've seen, like, just because, like,
as far as enjoyability.
Enjoyability. You're right. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's not bad. Like, it flows good. I mean, it's a well-constructed movie. I mean, like, Eli Roth is a pro at this point, you know, and it's not clunky at all. I mean, it handles its business. And, like, I don't know, like, as like a proper horror fan, it is like, listen, it is it elevated at all? Fuck no.
No.
Is it like,
I hate that term.
Is it grimy and gritty like Winnie the Pooh and shit like that, or Terrifier? Nah. But is it just like a fun, like, are the kills fucking brutal? Yeah. Is it fun as fuck? Yeah. I mean, are there three times in that movie I watched kills that I actually kind of like had to like wince and like pull back at? Yeah. Like, I think that, you know what I mean? Like, there's two really that were like, I can't talk about it, but like, we're like, wow, that actually kind of like affected me a little bit. On a visceral level, you know what I mean? Like, sure. Like, oh, like, okay, like, that's maybe like a new fear I didn't know I had, you know what I mean?
Sure. Oh shit, I like this movie.
Yeah, you know, and they were creative. I'm gonna say that's probably some of the most creative kills I've seen in a slasher movie in a very long time, and that's coming off
some of them were straight up Thanksgiving themed. which is really awesome.
Yeah.
And Jonas, you hated it, right?
What, the movie?
Yeah.
I didn't hate the movie.
No, I'm kidding.
I know.
You loved it too.
Yeah, of course I did. No, I did. It was I echo everything that Ryan said. Like, it wasn't my favorite movie of the year, but I think as far as like what you're talking about with just enjoyability goes, yeah, I could sit down and watch that movie 5 times in a row and be perfectly fine with it because it's that kind of a movie. But it's like, it also, like, it's what you want a holiday themed slasher movie to be. Like, it's kind of like the same reason that I watch Santa's Sleigh every year for Christmas. Is that a good movie? Okay. Fuck no, it's not. But it's really fun. You know what I mean? It's just obviously much lower budget, and it's like much smaller, you know, type of thing than Thanksgiving is. But this movie is kind of like that. And some of the kills, for sure. Some of the kills are like, you kind of have to sit back and go, holy shit. Like, especially for an R-rated movie. Like, this movie was one drop of blood away from being a fucking unrated movie.
Yeah.
Like, the fact they got an R rating, I'm actually kind of shocked.
Yep. I've been telling people, don't say that.
Listen, it is what it is.
I have been telling people it's a cross
between. Oh, shit. I just, yeah, okay. I wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Like,
don't worry. There's none of those in the title of the movie. You don't have to worry about it. Right. It's fine.
But it's, did I just already say, I've been telling people it's a cross between Scream and Terrifier. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not like it's not as rough as Terrifier, but sort of sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, I, you know, the bar's just been raised really high from Terrifier. And I think Terrifier did that. And and Terrifier 2 specifically, and we really owe them that credit, is the popularity of that movie sort of opened the door to something like Thanksgiving going as ham as it does. And pardon the pun, but I don't know. I absolutely loved it, and I would literally just watch it again. Like, I wanted to see it again afterwards and like rewatch the kills. And my dream job would be the writing room for a movie like that. Just like, okay, let's write out, like, I can imagine the whiteboard, like, let's write out 20 of the most like fucked up brain things that, like, you know what I mean? Like, because nothing is, there's very few like just simple old stabbing deaths. You know what I mean? Like, just like some Michael Myers, like, I stuck you with the butcher knife, you know, kind of thing. There's next to none of that. So like, it's they're like, we're like, you know, and you know, like, so I have given Eli Roth some shit.
Everybody has.
And you know what? I'm done. I think between his production on Haunt and between in this movie and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And like, even the movies like I don't like of his, fuck it. Fuck me. You know what I mean? Like, they're not that terrible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, kind of, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, I didn't like Green Inferno, but like, I'm also comparing it to movies I actually kind of hate, like Cannibal Holocaust and like, whatever, like, it's just like a movie and it's kind of terrifying, and I changed my tune on it.
Molly's favorite movie.
I want to mention this because you brought up Eli Roth, and because you brought up Eli Roth on this, I want to mention something. I haven't completely changed my tune on Eli Roth. I've always pretty much been on team Eli Roth for the most part, but the same thing that I have a problem with in all of his movies, I wouldn't say all, for the majority of his movies, is apparent in Thanksgiving, and it's one of the only downsides of the movie to me. And this is something that is kind of, unfortunately, a common thing throughout a lot of his movies, and it's the dialogue. The dialogue is pretty fucking bad. And that's okay, because this type of a movie doesn't really have to have the greatest dialogue. But like, that's the thing that took me out of Green Inferno. That's the thing that took me out of Knock Knock. That's the thing that took me out of...
Oh, I love Knock Knock.
Yeah, see, and I love Knock Knock too, but the dialogue's fucking awful. And it's like, it's one of those things to where, like, when I sit back and I just enjoy it as a horror movie, fucking awesome. I love it. Like, it's cool. I love what it is. Blah, 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 blah. Then when I see it a second time and I watch it with eyes that are a little more, I guess, a little more focused on everything that's going on, because I've already seen the kills. I've already seen all the cool shit, you know? Like, so when you watch it a second time, you kind of have that little bit more of a critical eye, I guess. That's where Eli Roth's shit kind of falls apart for me sometimes. And it literally is just the dialogue. And I think it's because Eli Roth is a great director. And every Eli Roth movie is for sure an Eli Roth movie. Like, you can watch it and be like, that's a fucking Eli Roth movie. Like, straight up. And he's very good at that. I just don't think he's the greatest writer of, like, just literally dialogue. He's great at writing scenes. He's great at he's really great at, like, putting shit together as far as that goes. I think he just needs somebody else in the writing room to do the actual dialogue part of it. That's just, like, the only issue that I've ever had with Eli Roth.
I'm pretty excited that we're getting a what sounds like a fantastic Thanksgiving movie.
It's super good.
Thanksgiving themed. But I live over here in the not real world where Ryan lives, where he's like, I'll do without Thanksgiving.
the holiday. Dude, I will seriously watch a Thanksgiving based movie, but like, if you told me
I understand.
Like, I would watch a Festivus based horror movie. I would watch
getting rid of every, even Halloween, ended suffering, yeah, who wouldn't? But like,
I would keep Halloween. I'm sorry. Some people can still suffer. Fair. That's just, I'm only going to be here for a limited amount of time, and I want to enjoy it when I'm here. So
hot take. Right. Here's my complaint about Halloween. Are you guys ready for this?
Are you talking about the holiday?
I'm just talking about the holiday. Yeah. Here's my complaint about it. I feel like it traps all the spookiness and stuff into one time a year.
You're just letting it do that.
No, I'm letting it. I am not letting it at all. Like, I even watch horror movies and do the thing. And by
being spooky,
I'm being spooky. I scare the
Ryan's
shit.
Very spooky. Well,
I scare the shit out of people all the time. You know what I mean?
You're also a white male, so that's just like a thing that we do.
Right, because we are terrifying. have you seen the history books? But it's like throughout history from the beginning. Of time
from the beginning of us, really scary.
Like, have you read about like the you know, fucking French English there's not a single time
in history where straight white dudes right. are like the not scary ones, not right. one fucking time.
Right, like I've worked on a bit about this, like, you know, like, you know, I heard a friend say she thought she saw a ghost. And then she realized it was just some creepy guy like outside her house. And I was like, okay, why are we even afraid of ghosts?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm not sure.
Bible. Like, go back. The Bible? Right. The Bible has the worst straight white dudes. Like,
right, exactly.
I want to go back real quick just on Eli Roth. I just wanted to say before, because we're going everywhere. But we are. I've kind of liked him. I was never mad at him. For any reason, I always thought especially his interviews and stuff, he spoke really well about horror. So I always kind of respected him. One thing that he fucked up big time, I think, on, and that's that TV show. It's like a round table with a bunch of priests retelling.
Oh yeah, that was
stories.
Really, yeah.
That's fucking awful. That was the most boring thing. First of all.
I will agree with you on that.
I wouldn't have watched that. It was bad.
Yeah,
I watched it because Eli Roth was attached. I was like, oh, it might be genuinely scary.
It was not. It was definitely not.
It was like three priests at a time just sitting around being like, oh yeah, remember that one time? And then we can't really talk about it except in these walls. And then they didn't really talk about it anyway. Yeah. it was terrible. Anyway.
No, that's actually a good point. That's probably the lowest point of Eli Roth's creative stuff.
It was recent too.
Yeah, it was. I was bummed that I never got to see his fucking his thing that he did in Vegas, the that big ass haunted mansion thing that he did that apparently was awesome. Like, I was really bummed. It was a whole like full on Vegas attraction that was like a year round haunted house that was gigantic and like all based around horror films. Like, if you took what's the thing that happens at Universal Studios, Halloween Horror Nights, if you took that all, put it into one building and then put it year round, that's apparently what it was in Las Vegas. And it fucking lasted only a few years and I never got to see it. That bums me out. I wanted to see that.
Yeah, I bet that'd be fucking cool.
Eli Roth has a great horror mind. Like,
and I think or at least he speaks well on it.
Well, no, he does. And he's also like, he knows how to make movies that are what he wants to make. And that's for better or worse. Like, the Hostel movies are fucking unnerving as shit. Like, there's no way to watch a Hostel movie and not at least like squirm a little bit. In both of them, the second one especially, I think the second one is especially like darker in tone, and like those types of movies, and even Green Inferno, there's parts in Green Inferno that made my skin want to crawl off my bones. There was parts that I thought were hilarious, but there's parts that legitimately like fucking freaked me out. Knock Knock is the same way. Cabin Fever was the same way. Don't know why they did the shot for shot remake of Cabin Fever, but whatever. The one that he made, same thing. Like, when the chick fucking does the leg shaving thing and she just shaves her skin off of her leg and then just looks at it like, yeah, that's pretty
cool.
I guess that's just my leg now. Like, it's just, ugh. He knows what he's doing. And it shows in Thanksgiving. It for sure shows in Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I, do you guys want to hear, like, my my idea for a Hallmark movie?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Since we're talking about the holidays. Okay. I'll just read it to you, okay?
All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. A spinster career woman returns to her hometown. This is my pitch, okay? She is wooed by a local guy. He used to be like a kind of nerdy outcast, but has now grown into this handsome, like, blue-collar, flannel-wearing stud. You know what I mean? You know the type, right? Like, he has some simple, folksy wisdom. But it's like this breath of fresh air to her, because she lives this jet set lifestyle and this glossy big city life, you know, like lots of lights and fancy dinners and stuff like that. And this is a kind of, she comes across this like meat potatoes guy. So it kind of reminds her of who she is, you know?
I can like hear the Hallmark music.
Yeah. Like, reading this. She leaves her boyfriend and all the hubbub of the city life. And she just decides to join this guy in that simple life. She's, you know, hanging out, swilling beers out of a mason jar, you know, domestic lagers down at the local place with the sassy old lady bartender, you know what I mean? And
this is a Reese Witherspoon movie.
Yeah, and then they're all just kind of hanging out. And then she's there for like a week, and all of a sudden he starts in on QAnon. You know what I mean? He starts in on and the real reason he's never moved to the city is because he's afraid that like trans pedophiles are going to try to get him to eat a baby. You know what I mean? Sure. And you know what I mean? And she's Light trying
keeps it simple.
All she's right. trying to have like, she's kind of trying to ask him about it and talk questions, but she can't get a word in edgewise. Cause like he has like the Joe Rogan podcast Peterson and Shapiro turned up so loud that she can't even talk. She tries to leave, but then the town decides that she can't, and then at this point it turns into survival horror. Okay, like so she tries to escape, but they're all like rolling,
and then it turns into survival horror.
And then she's trying to leave, but they're all like rolling coal down the street, you know what I mean? And truck flags are everywhere and all this stuff, and she's like blinded by it, and she's like trapped in rural America. And it turns out like she like tries to run to a cop, but of course the cop, he's all about it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and
the fucking head of the shit.
She tries to run to the mayor that she likes, who's like a sweet old man. Turns out not a sweet old man. QAnon, QAnon nutbag with a 16-year-old girlfriend who also cooks meth. Okay, like, you know, like a typical QAnoner person.
This is still a Reese Witherspoon movie.
Exactly.
This is just so clear.
So the whole point of the movie is that they are trying to stop her from becoming a career woman. Because a career woman will have, like, opinions and thinks she has control over her own body and things like that. And ultimately, if she is not a baby maker for, you know, white Christian males, she's a threat. You know what I mean? She's like, she's an absolute threat. So she has to find their stockpile of weapons, right? And then she has to use them against them because she learned it in like a business, like training seminar where they did like a paintball or something like that. And she ends up with, because she's just naturally smarter than all of them.
Airsoft rifles.
Yeah. Because she's smarter. She ends up like killing the whole town, but it's like a zombie invasion kind of situation where they're like coming out and they're like, it's a cock. It's a instead of brains are like cocks.
It's just more and more cutting out of the forest.
And but she uses the gunslinger and she's able to finally escape and roll out of town in one of the pickup trucks. And as you're rolling out of town, you see the truck flag break off the back and land on the ground, and she drives off into the distance. Final scene. Are you ready for this? Final scene.
All right.
She gets home. She goes back to the boyfriend that she dumped. He takes her back in. And he's like kind of like a centrist Democrat, kind of an NPR liberal. You know what I mean? Like, like, you know what I mean? Like he's
you
like
for sure wrote this movie in Portland.
he's like a CEO of like some big like natural medication company or something like that. And she's like he takes her up and he makes like yoga mats, something like that. And like takes her, she's safe in his penthouse. She's sipping like a nice like Merlot out on his deck, enjoying herself. And then all of a sudden she hears him turn on the Joe Rogan podcast. End. Boy, I'm telling you, that's a good movie. I would watch that. Would you watch that?
Yeah,
I
would, 100%. What's it called?
What's the name of this one?
Oh, give me a second. I got to come up with something
good. But I think the guy at the end that she shacks up with who ends up turning the Joe Rogan podcast on, I think it should be revealed that his name is Dr. Bronner. And that's why she thought that she was safe. She's just like, this is the natural shampoo guy. Natural shampoo. I'm going to be fine.
Put in the Q in Christmas.
That's so good. That's so good.
A Christmas movie, but with a Q instead of the CH. That would be, dude, that'd be amazing.
I got the name.
Yeah. What's that?
You Can Never Go Home.
I do like that, actually. That sounds like a horror film.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ready or not.
You also can't leave.
Yeah. Now, like, what? There could also be another ending to that movie that keeps it open for a sequel while she's driving away in the truck. I know. I'm saying alternate endings here. It's always got to be physical media special features. You got to do alternate endings. The alternate ending. Is her driving away in the truck, driving away from this rural hellscape, and she thinks that she's escaped, and then out of the back seat, somebody pops up and throws a "Don't Tread on Me" flag around her face and fucking suffocates her, and it goes into black.
I like that. I like that a lot. I still like the end where she goes back and he's also the bad guy. See, because that's like the twist. You know what I mean? Like, no, you're not safe from this bullshit anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you think you can go. And I don't know. I think I should pitch that to somebody. What do you guys think?
I think you should 100%.
Yeah, I think.
But now you've put it out there in the world. Yeah,
because this is documented. So even if somebody
documented, yeah.
Yeah, it does. Right, it does. This is a timestamp.
Bring it.
Then. Yeah, it yeah. No, I'm saying. I'm saying. If somebody
try to make this movie with that,
somebody make it, and then we'll just take the money.
Yeah, we'll just, you know what I mean, bring it in. So, like, I don't know. We've talked
to enough filmmakers. I feel like somebody could jump on that and be like, I can make the shit out of that movie.
Jeez, like, I don't know who could. Let's see. I would say Jason Howden, because he could get like the gore down that we need. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. her having to like, you know, kill her parents, you know what I mean? With like a Confederate flag. The funniest thing about this whole movie is it's all going to be like, just like 40 minutes outside of town.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not like, this isn't going to be like out in the middle of nowhere. This is just going to be like the town past the suburbs. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
you can take a fucking train ticket for 45 minutes north of New York and you run into that fucking place.
Exactly.
Like when me and Brian, my friend Brian, when we drive out to Long Island, there's an immediate shift of like, just when you cross the fucking line from New York City to Long Island, instant. It is an instant change. Like, you don't have to go far to find those people.
Yeah, I think this is the Northern Confederate flag, you know. I think I got this, you know what I mean? Like,
if people have never been to Eastern Oregon, they should go there and they'll see that this fucking shit's easy to find. Like, anything that's outside of, like, the main...
Let's go there. It's fun.
It is. It's super fun. You'll find all the racists and Bigfoots that you can find.
Right.
But Eastern Oregon is weird like that, because everybody thinks that, like, Oregon is just Portland. No.
Portland, as somebody who does comedy in this beautiful state, it's an interesting even like extended Portland, like Canby and Estacada and Damascus and all that completely turn into what people think of Portland is like 10 city blocks. The rest of it is like, I live in North Portland, which is like not Portland. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
There's not,
it's similar to like New Orleans. Louisiana.
No, like North Portland is like it would be like the Staten Island of it's like Staten Island if it had like a way worse crime problem. Wait, you know what I mean?
North Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah, the northern part of Portland.
I'm talking about the state. Like,
oh, you're talking about Portland being,
everybody thinks of Portland.
It's very much like the New Orleans thing. Yeah.
Oregon. Yeah. And then New Orleans. Yeah,
it's very much the New
Orleans. People think, oh, you live in Louisiana. How beautiful. And
it's like, no.
No.
Well, even New Orleans is not that beautiful. But yeah, anything outside of New Orleans, it's like, oh, this is bad. Like, we went to the bad
place.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, I think it's like, but it's like, it's just funny because Portland is Portland. But that's just kind of America. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, oh, there's homeless people in Portland. I'm like, have you been to America? Like, I think it's funny how everybody clutches their pearls about the homeless people in Portland. And like, I feel like being like, you should go to New York or San Francisco. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you want like wild homeless experiences, like, it's just that everybody there is used to it. And it's just part of the vibe. And you know what I mean? Like if you jerked off on a bus here, it'd probably make the news. But if you like, you know what I mean?
Ruining a few people's mornings here.
Right. Like right here, it's, I don't even know if it's ruining people's mornings. It's part of the fucking landscape. You know what I mean? Like,
but we won't even get up out of our seat and move to a new seat. We'll just be like, just, can you point it the other way, please?
Right. Can you just,
like, seriously,
do you want me to moan? Will that help this? Let's get over quick. Yeah.
Contain it in your pants there, buddy.
I'm just telling
you. I only want to bring this up, Ryan, because of what we were just talking about. It's a shout out really quick because we just brought up New Orleans and we just brought up homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show and also podcast host Lauren Petrie. She hosts the Alien Murder Sex podcast. She's actually in New Orleans right now for the Hell Yes Fest, and she did something really fucking cool. She was walking around New Orleans, and if you don't know anything about her, she used to be homeless. She was a homeless, like, she was on meth and heroin. She's been through a lot of shit. She's sober now. But she was out there. She found a bunch of crust punks and homeless kids in New Orleans and just started chatting with them. And it came up that she was a comedian. And they said, do a fucking set. So she did. She has a video of it, like, on her TikTok and on her socials. She did a whole-ass fucking comedy set for a bunch of homeless kids. And I'll tell you what, that was one of the fucking best audiences that I've seen for comedy ever. They were eating up every single thing that she did. And I thought that was just the coolest shit because, you know, I mean, we're obviously everybody on this show and everybody that we associate with, we're very like pro supporting, you know, doing good things for the homeless people, you know, houseless, homeless, however you want to say it. But people vilify it so fucking much that it was so cool to see her show the other side of it and just like having them enjoy themselves and just have conversations and like, yeah, I don't know, treating them like fucking people. Yeah, so it was just cool. And you can see all that stuff on her socials. It's really cool to see it, especially in New Orleans. New Orleans is a very, it is a very homeless supportive area is the best way to put it. Like they treat them well. They treat them well in New Orleans.
I like that. I like that.
It was. It's cool.
I don't know. We got anything else to talk about? What do we want to talk about? Want to do recommendations?
Do you guys see The Curse?
Oh, the new show.
No. Yeah.
The Nathan Fielder show? I have not fucking seen it. I forgot that it was fucking on.
Watch it. There's two episodes now. It's I need someone to talk to about it. It's really good. It's Emma Stone and Benny Safdie.
It looks fucking cool.
It's so bizarre.
It's Ben Safdie.
Safdie, that's right. Yeah, I don't know what he's from. Do you?
Yeah, the Safdie brothers are directors, and they also act in their movies. They're the ones that did Uncut Gems. They're the ones that did...
Oh, I never saw Uncut those Gems. Guys.
Good movie.
What else did they do?
All their movies look the same, which is not a bad thing. They have a very specific directing style. They did another one with Robert Pattinson, and... I cannot remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was also very, very good. They're very talented.
Not Good Time or
no, it was Good Times, I think.
Was it?
Yeah,
because I saw that. I liked that a lot.
That's actually that is what it was.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So I should probably watch that Uncut Gems. I've heard good things.
and it's fucking. It's Adam Sandler doing some not Adam Sandler shit, and he does.
Yeah, really that's job. When I. Like him the least, actually. I hated Punch Drunk Love. Anyway, The Curse is fucking awesome.
Do we like it? We never talk about his movies. What's his name? Paul Thomas Anderson or whatever.
I don't personally.
Yeah, I don't. Is there anything that we do we like Boogie Nights? Boogie Nights is okay. No.
Boogie Nights is the only one for me. And yeah, I liked it the first time I watched it, and then after that I didn't give a shit.
It was the first time where I was like, this is just blatant ripoffs of like scenes from other movies. And people say it's homage, but like that didn't feel like
it was definitely a ripoff.
Like, so I don't know. Yeah. And I think parts of There Will Be Blood, but a lot of that could be that it was called that. And I don't think I'll ever see it again. So yeah,
I like In the Name of the Father, but I decided halfway through Gangs of New York that I do not like Daniel Day-Lewis. People think I'm nuts for it, but he kind of like bums his acting kind of bums me out. Like it's too much. Like back off a little bit. Like Tom Hardy and Gary Oldman can do that like transformation thing, and they do it really well. Daniel Day-Lewis is like, bro, like that Lincoln movie, I didn't watch it, but just even the like the commercials for it, like it's disgusting. Like, bro, slow the fuck down. You know what I mean? Like, apparently he's also a cobbler in real life. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, and like what kind of asshole becomes a cobbler as like a hobby? Like, listen, bro, like do
you're something. A fucking millionaire. Why are you a cobbler?
Right. I mean, and here's the deal. It's like, I'm not even against people putting shoes together and like doing that kind of thing and repairing shoes.
Weird thing to be against.
Right. But like, if somebody's like, I have a hobby and I put shoes, I cobble a little bit inside. But for me to like know you're a cobbler, fuck you. That is like pretentiousness out the ass. That's like, I work at the apothecary and I'm a fucking cobbler, bro. That's a, like, we quit fucking with the shit, man. We quit fucking with it completely. Like, we throw shoes away now. That's just the way it is. They're not meant to go any longer. Which is fine. Like, yes, throwing things away, I know, It's terrible. It's great. But we exist, and there's going to be problems within our existing. And like the least of the problems is that we have shoes on our feet. And that is like one of the things. And like, yes, some of them are made of foam and stuff like that. And we're going to throw that foam away, but you can actually recycle them, and they turn them and supposedly into tracks and stuff for poor children. So like, you're cobbling, kind of stealing shit from poor kids, you know what I mean? Like in the long run,
it's gone to that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like so Gary Oldman fucking rips off poor kids. That's what I'm just kind of saying. not Gary Oldman. Daniel Day-Lewis. No, Gary Oldman
rules.
Yeah, he is kind of an anti-Semite. Gary Oldman is.
Damn,
yeah, it. I know. Shit. He came out with like the Jews run Hollywood sort of fucking statement.
I hate Daniel Day-Lewis more, but like fuck.
Yeah, I know. It's like I know, and it sucks because Gary Oldman was always like one of my favorites. Although he is in what I consider maybe the worst movie ever, which is Hannibal.
Oh yeah, that's pretty bad.
Hannibal
Rising is actually worse, but Hannibal's pretty bad.
Well, the thing about Hannibal is it has all the potential in the world. That's what makes it the worst. Like it wasn't like it's a sequel to a really successful movie. It has like an all-star cast of like Ray Liotta and fucking what's her name? I can't remember her name. The one who took over for Jodie Foster, Clarice.
Julianne Moore.
Yeah, Julianne Moore. She's great. Fantastic. Fucking Gary Oldman. Like, I mean, arguably one of the best actors of our generation. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, so good in everything he's ever done. And boy, did that movie just shit the bed. Like, it is just so dumb. It's dumb. And you're like, bro,
don't even remember anything except for the brainy.
Well, because there's nothing to remember. Yeah. And they fuck that scene up. Like, I should like you. How can you fuck that scene up? Like, that's a scene that I should be like, yo, this is rad. Like, I hated the whole movie, but dude, did you see them eat that brain? Like, this is like if somebody's eating a brain while somebody's still alive. Like,
and it's their brain.
It's their brain. That's like my wheelhouse of movies. But they just shit the bed with that. And let's get it. Like, let's be real. Shitting on beds, as the Johnny Depp trial taught us, like, there's not, you don't really come back from that. No, you know what I mean? Like, you can be like, you can do everything right. Right. Like, you can do everything good. Like in a relationship, like you could be like, oh, I showed up, they showed up every day and I fed them dinner and I didn't hassle them and they were really abusive and shitty, but I just kept a smile. But yeah, on that last day, I got sick of it and I shit on the bed and they're going to be like, like you're fucked. I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? Like
the thing, right there.
That's something
you shit on the bed
as a society. It's one of the very few things we agree on, like a shit on the bed. Is a bummer, right? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not even happy with my cat.
I was worried about Nathan Fielder was shitting the bed, but the curse fucking rules.
I've heard that it's great. I've heard that it's great.
It's so uncomfortable, which is 100% Nathan Fielder's MO. It's maybe the most, it's way more uncomfortable to watch than, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm or anything. And it's just, you know, it's not, there's two episodes out. There's nothing that says this is a horror TV show aside from it being named The Curse. And
even the trailer didn't look like it.
And a curse is put on someone, but you're like, I'm now just trying to figure out like, is the curse a red herring? Like, or like, are they the curse? Because it's about Nathan Fielder's character and Emma Stone, and they're trying to film a TV show showing this new this neighborhood that's struggling, that they're going to bring a lot of business into and get it thriving again. And they want to make a lot of money doing this, you know, making a TV show about it. And it's Safdie trying to and filming it and meeting a good show, and it's really funny, and he's amazing, he's hysterical, but it's really uncomfortable, and it just feels like something horrible is going to happen at any moment, and none of it feels supernatural or even like biblical or slashery or anything. There's just this really unsettling feeling, and it's fucking pitch perfect. So
it gave me a Vivarium vibe when I was looking at the trailer.
That's not the first thing I would think of. More the rehearsal. Did you see the rehearsal?
Oh yeah, okay.
It's more that, which I think is, I said when I told people to start watching it, was you should watch Nathan For You and The Rehearsal. They're not horror, but they're fucking genius, I think. And it'll help you understand why this show is the way it is, I think, a little more. But
no,
it's crazy. And Emma Stone is fucking great. And it's like the first like non like Nathan, like he's not playing Nathan Fielder. So sure. It was interesting. Anyway,
yeah,
I know this isn't the recommendations part, but you guys, I didn't see Thanksgiving.
No. before we do recommendations, I want to do something.
Are we even doing them?
Yeah, sure. We can do those. Yeah. But before we do recommendations, I want to mention this. I Googled while we were going off on our little rants here. By the way, Daniel Day-Lewis is also a prick leading up to all of his movies, just so we're clear. He's that kind of a method actor.
Right.
He's like the method actor that like waiters and waitresses, servers and stuff in Los Angeles, when they see him show up, they're like, oh, fuck, my day's ruined. Like, he's that kind of guy. Like, right. So fuck that guy. But I looked up a list of Thanksgiving horror films. Just to see what we could find. And I'm going to run them down real quick for you. We can say something about them or not. But the first one on the list, I don't know why the fuck I forgot this one, because I like this movie, Black Friday.
Oh, yeah.
With Bruce Campbell and Devin Sawa.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fucking fun movie.
Too.
Yeah.
Was your next Thanksgiving? It wasn't, was it?
I don't think it was Thanksgiving.
I thought it was just like their anniversary or something.
Yeah, it was the parents' anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Black Friday, that fucking movie actually kind of rules. It's okay, set during a Black Friday, fucking like, you know, raid. And there's creepy, weird, supernatural shit that goes on. There's a couple of movies I've never heard of. One of them is called Krisha, and the description is starring Krisha Fairchild, the real life aunt of Trey Edward Schultz. Krisha takes viewers to the Thanksgiving family reunion from hell. But then it says it's more of a drama than a horror movie, so fuck that one. There's one called Christy that I've never heard of, but that one's also from like 2014. Pilgrim, which was the Blumhouse Into the Dark Thanksgiving entry called Pilgrim. It's okay. Like, I've seen that one. It's all right. It's not great. The Oath. This is another one that I forgot about.
Yeah, I forgot about that one too.
That's the one with Tiffany Haddish and Ike Barinholtz. And that one's a fucking horror comedy. And that one also rules.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. They threw Escape Room into that as a Thanksgiving movie. And I'm not 100% sure why. But that one was good. And so was
Escape Room. I feel like there's a lot of movies that like don't have anything to do with Thanksgiving, but like happen on Thanksgiving Day for some reason. Or yeah, like right like, around
but,
there.
But that's like, yeah. That's like Christmas movie thing too.
Yeah.
No, but there's always like lights and shit. But I feel like they're like, you know, November 20th.
Yeah, some of these for sure. And you're
like, oh, this is around then. But the movie isn't about, it's not themed at all like that.
Right.
It's just...
So the next one is called Blood Rage. And it's twins Todd and Terry are at a drive-in movie when they find their mom locked
in. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, this one actually is kind of cool. But I think a lot of people probably haven't heard of it. It says, locked in a passionate makeout session with a man they don't know, Terry explodes and kills a teen in a nearby car out of rage. And then pins the whole thing on Todd. Is locked in an asylum while Terry goes about his adolescent life. 10 years later on Thanksgiving Day, Todd escapes the asylum and all
hell breaks
loose. Yeah, all hell breaks loose. That one,
yeah,
I
like
rules.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving 3. There is no Thanksgiving 2. That's the joke. Ha 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 ha. Those movies are a combined budget of $100. So, you know, if you like those, you like those. Bad movie, Boogeyman, not the new one, the older one from like 2008 or something mm-hmm. like that.
Is that a Thanksgiving movie?
Yeah, it is. It all takes place on Thanksgiving. And also it sucks. Not a good movie. A movie called Ghost Note, which I've never heard of, but it says Thanksgiving gets turned on its head when the killer spirit of a blues musician is unleashed. That already sounds cool, actually. While on the loose, he terrorizes everyone he encounters, most notably some young sweethearts who are totally unsuspecting victims. You know what? I'm down for a fucking a haunted blues ghost.
What's that? Yeah, that sounds way more exciting than the fact that it's on Thanksgiving. What's that one called?
Ghost Note.
Oh, yeah, like a...
Yeah, like yeah, like
blues
a
blues note.
Yeah, yeah. There's a slasher film called Home Sweet Home that was made in the early 80s. Never seen that one, but that one's there. And then The Last Thanksgiving, which is also one that's really hard to find, but you can find it on Tubi. And they don't even give you a description of that one. It's just a Thanksgiving horror film. So,
oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I actually have that one on Blu-ray. I got it through Horror Pack. It actually is really good. It's very low budget, but it's awesome. So yeah, those are Thanksgiving horror films. I mean, there apparently is a handful of them that we just kind of forgot about.
But yeah, but there aren't a lot. But
really, there isn't a lot. Yeah, isn't a lot.
I think you guys convinced me to go outside and go to that sooner than I was planning.
You're gonna like it. Like you legitimately You are. And also shout out to fellow comedian Tim Dillon for being in that movie. And
I'm such a fan of Tim Dillon. When he lived here in New York, he used to do the tour buses,
which around. Is hilarious. Yeah.
And then he started just doing them for comedy shows. Like I took one of his like tours around the park.
Did he take you to all the murder sites and shit?
He didn't take us to the murder sites, but he took us to all the dangerously rich people's places. Sure. And talked about like all the fucked up stuff they did. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
I remember Chris Gethard and Sal Volcano were on that bus. It was like a pretty exciting bus. They didn't like perform or anything. It was really fun because it was just he didn't tell jokes.
He just told stories about fucked up white people.
It was pretty awesome. That's all it was.
For sure.
I've been a Tim Dillon fan since I moved to New York.
I was actually just very surprised when I saw the teaser, and I saw just like that blink and you miss it thing in the teaser where you see Tim facing the screen and then you see somebody come up behind him. And I messaged him. I was like, did I see you get strangled in the Thanksgiving teaser? He's like, yeah, you fucking did. And I was like, sweet. And then
it's
saw
an
the
American
movie.
Holiday. It's whatever he said.
Yeah. And then I saw the movie and I was like, oh, it's way more than strangling. Cool. Like, so
all right. I'm stoked for that.
Like that, like if there's one thing Thanksgiving is lazy.
It's definitely not.
it is like everything is really I kind of wish I could talk about the part after right. he gets dispatched, because there's like such a great scene that you're just
you call it dispatched.
Like you're just gonna well, dispatch is what you do to
stop explaining things
to a chicken.
That's called a spatchcock. He did not get spatchcocked.
He did not get spatchcocked.
Actually, Tim, if you know Tim, he might have gotten spatchcocked. I don't know.
but there's a part after that's so good that Graham is gonna love. So.
Yeah, I can't wait for Graham to see it now. Yeah,
Graham,
you love movies.
Yeah. Yep, so. You're gonna have fun times with it.
Recommendation time, Graham. What do you recommend?
All right, you jumped on me there quick. Let's see. Shaky Shivers. That's new. It's a werewolf movie. Came out this year. It's directed by Sung Kang. It stars Brooke and Markham and Vivi Guyon. They're awesome in it. It's two young women find themselves at an abandoned camp in the woods, with a book of magical spells, surrounded by classic monsters in this comedic send-up of 80s horror films. It's that part of the comedic send-up of 80s horror films, I guess, but don't listen to that part that much. But also, it was really good. I liked it a lot. But then what I was so excited about, guess who did the special effects?
Who?
Gabe Bartolas.
Oh, really? Shit.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I it's like the only thing he's done since then, and I'm really excited that he got him, and it looked great. So yeah, check that out. And then what is any good music? Oh, the new Aesop Rock. I think I already said that. And the Lolabrook. The new Clutch live album is really good. I never really listened to their live albums, but them live is really fantastic. And this one's pretty good. It's a really incredible mix of stuff. And then, the new Danny Brown fucking rules. It's called Quaranta, which means 40 in Italian.
Nice.
And it's fucking Danny Brown, and I love Danny Brown. So.
Dope.
That's it.
Jonas.
So I'm going to recommend a movie that is a foreign film that is, every now and then I like watching, movies based off autobiographical movies based off serial killers. This one is a foreign one though. So it's one that not a lot of people have seen. It's called The Golden Glove, and it is about the, German serial killer, Fritz Honka, you know what, if I had that name, I might get a little stabby. Mm-hmm. But it's a great movie, if you're into those. Very brutal. Like, it's definitely one of those ones that's right up there with any of the more brutal horror films, serial killer films that you would think. Really well acted. It's definitely got subtitles, so you gotta be into that. But you can find it on Hulu, and I think you can also find it on Prime. I saw it a while ago, and then I just revisited it like a week ago.
What's the name again?
It's called The Golden Glove, and The Golden Glove is the bar, tavern, whatever you want to call it, the pub that he used to hang out at, and that's where he would get his victims. And the guy that plays Fritz Honka is a dude that I've never heard of because he's a German actor. I've never heard of him, but he kind of looks like Mark Ruffalo after he's had some like facial injuries. Like, so when you see his face, you're like, is that
he's Mark been Ruffalo? A little ruffaloed up.
He has been a little ruffaloed up, is what it looks like. And I'm gonna give you that one. I'm gonna give you that pun without being angry.
No, I'm not. I'm not giving it to you. but yeah, I've taken it back. This is democracy, and I have veto power. As the other resident stand up. So
and then. Physical media recommendation, it's on Amazon for cheap, and I got it is the Paranormal Activity box set because I like most of the Paranormal Activity movies, and so I don't care if the shitty ones are in there too. It just completes the franchise for me, so I don't have to buy them individually. But it was also super cheap. It was like $30 for like 8 movies.
Oh shit, hold on.
Okay. Also,
it's well, you can keep talking.
But. I kind of figured I was not going to stop just because you ran away. It's also a good box set. Like, it's a good quality box set. It's also got an extra disc in there that kind of is about the creation of the films and like all those things too, which is kind of cool.
Look what I did.
All right, what'd you do?
I got Steelbooks.
What?
Lights oh, bad. Fuck
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's dude, that Shout head. Factory. Special
the pumpkin head sale. One?
Yeah, I got the pumpkin head one. Yeah, because fucking pumpkin head I didn't have, and Motel Hell.
Fuck yeah,
fucking Motel. Right. And that steelbook is really cool,
dude. So Motel Hell steelbook is awesome.
Those are my physical for the year.
Hell yeah. And then as far as music goes, I honestly, I don't have anything really. I've been listening to a random smattering of stuff. Spirit Box has been coming out with more songs, more singles. They're varying in quality, but the last couple of them, one of them is called The Cellar Door. That one was actually really good. And it was very heavy, which they stuck with. And I'm also a huge fan of Courtney LaPlante's vocals in general. Like, she's got really good clean vocals and she's got really good harsh vocals. But The Cellar Door is one of the more recent songs off of the upcoming new album. So yeah, check their shit out if you're into Spirit Box. They've been dropping singles. So that's all I got. Ryan, what about you, buddy?
I am going to go. The first thing I'm going to recommend is, you know what? We didn't even fight on the podcast, Jonas.
We didn't fight. Ew.
We have a big fight that's brewing that we haven't talked about. Because I'm going to do, I'm going to do three recommendations. First, I'm just going to do my three recommendations. Then I'll do my three anti-recommendations, and you're going to be mad about one of them.
Okay.
Maybe right, two cool. of them.
I like getting mad every now and then. So
that's cool. So
I'm off work for like a week, so I have plenty of time to stew in it.
Sweet. The first recommendation I have is Ben Roy's special Hyena.
Oh, fuck that. No, I'm kidding. I love Ben.
Yeah.
You're going to like these three, I think.
Yeah. This you probably like. I just think it's absolutely fantastic. And I just think it's one of the best comedy specials I've seen in a really long time. And I really, beyond Ben, we hung out with him at Altercation Fest, and Jonas and him have been friends for a long time. And he's about as good of a dude and as real of a dude as you're going to get. And he is truly, truly has like a comedy style that I wish that I could just like, if I could just scratch even an ounce of that off, you know what I mean? Like
see it?
It's on YouTube. Yes. It's on 800 pound gorilla, and I think, you know, like I heard Jessel talking about on his podcast about how YouTube is really like you'll make just as much money as you'll make off of Netflix at this point, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you don't have to deal with Netflix hiding numbers from you and all that shit. Like, can you imagine like releasing a comedy special and having zero idea how well it's done? You know what I mean? Here's your money. You never get any sort of analytical thing. It's all a big secret with them. You know what I mean? So, which is like, basically Netflix sucks. And I just think that we all have it because it would be weird to not have it. You know what I mean? And occasionally they bust out some Mike Flanagan and I'm like, okay, this is rad. And this is what I have it. But like
Stranger Things is still good. And I got to tell you, they're fucking, they're foreign content. And their trash competition.
They do have good foreign content.
Is really good.
Yeah, I mean, no, there is. I'm not saying that there's not good stuff on them, but as a company and as an entity,
it's fucked up and dumb and weird.
Yeah,
and what they do to shows is fucked up and weird. And I agree, mostly Netflix, but I do have Netflix for a few good reasons.
Yeah, and I'm never getting rid of it. We
will never get rid of it.
Like I said the other day, it's like it's Spotify, Netflix, and Morrissey. All of them are terrible, and I hate them all. But they're just so good at what they do.
I only have Spotify for our podcast. That's the only reason.
right. But it's on Hulu, and 800 pound gorilla puts out all their shit on YouTube. And Kyle Kinane and I, to name drop, were hanging out one night, and he was talking to me about just how, you know, talking about the business and how shit gets shopped around, and just about how fucking like YouTube is just the best way to go. Like, you just cut all the middle people out, and all of a sudden you're just like, okay, I just make money off of views, and if it's up to me to push it, and I like that, you know what I mean? But Ben Roy, he's on there, and boy is that special good. Boy is that special.
Listen to all of his albums. If you have Spotify, listen to all of his albums, because all of them are good.
Yep.
Every one of them.
He is he's really good. Musically, I'm actually going to recommend his band, Spells, because they are, I don't know, they're just really good. And it's totally him singing, but it's not funny, really. It's entertaining. And it's just a good, like, because I don't know, like, I'm always going to carry a torch for every punk comic, you know what I mean? Like, just because we're kind of a niche, you know what I mean? And I appreciate that. And the band is, his bands are all super good. He's been in a number of bands, and they're all super good. So, in other words, I wish Ben Roy was my best friend. And
who's the original punk comic? Not like punk in attitude or like from the 70s, but like the shit we listen to.
I don't know. Like, I'm gonna say Kinane was really like the first one to be like a punk, like an out and like an open punk. Like, I listen to punk music, you know what I mean? Like, I can't think of anybody else. I mean, I'm sure there are other ones. I mean, like John Belushi was like, of course, like probably the most famous punk.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's probably
I mean, if you've ever seen those pictures of him with Black Flag and all that sort of stuff, and you know what I mean? Like he was like about it. Yeah, probably Belushi. Yeah. But like as far as like stand ups in the modern era with music that we listen to.
I was gonna say Patton Oswalt too.
Yeah, but like you know, like you know, like
he also listened to Pixies, so that doesn't count,
right? Well, no disrespect to Patton Oswalt, that guy's fucking amazing.
But he did listen to the Pixies.
He's listening to the Pixies. That's one of my favorite Hard Times articles I've ever written, which was Punk is going to have to settle for Pixies. Pixies fan as work friend. But it's a his band is Spells, all capitals, like SPELLS, and it's very, very good. So that's Ben Roy, his band Spells. But book wise, I listened to on the way because I just did some comedy down in Southern Oregon, right at the California border, basically. I listened to Britney Spears' book, The Woman in Me. It's a heartbreaking tale of like the salacious stuff we've all heard about Justin Timberlake and stuff like that. It's really just scratches the surface of the abuse and everything she's put up with. Actually, it's odd they bring that stuff up because the kind of the book is about how the media just focuses on like her tits and her sexuality and stuff like that. But really the whole thing, at one point her father had her locked in an asylum, feeding her lithium, essentially because lithium. I mean, force feeding her lithium. And she
had never taken lithium. You know how fucked up that is.
Yeah, like it is a
I bought that book too. Remember when I asked you guys for one recommendation each?
Yeah.
I bought that already. And then I was like,
But it's a really good, it's a really great book. Well, I mean, it's a really sad book about somebody who is like slightly mentally ill, like slightly, like kind of impulsive and maybe a little obsessive. Like 90% of the people I know struggle with some things, and about how they were afraid that was going to interfere with her money making, so they basically forced her to fucking work and fed her with drugs. And it's they did the same shit to Marilyn Monroe, and they did the same shit to Elvis, and they did the same shit to, and I'm not defending Elvis, I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just saying they take poor people and they get them to dance, and then they fucking shove drugs down their throats when they can. And it's a fucked up story, and there's people out there will be like, oh, she's a celebrity and blah 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 blah. That is a woman who was abused and sexualized from the time she was 14. Mm-hmm. You know, she went crazy. It's because the paparazzi were like literally just like refusing to leave her alone. Like mm-hmm. she was losing her kids in a custody battle, and every time she would stop, they would knock on her door window. They pushed her and pushed her and pushed her until something happened. They knew she was going through a crisis, and they've seized that, and all of those absolute pigs should be fed to fucking pigs. Like mm-hmm. it's like if you like the abuse and stuff like that, and how this world treats women and differently than men, like she brings it up a million times in the books. You know how many rock stars like are doing drugs and shooting TVs and throwing things out of windows, and then people are like, oh, them boys will be boys. That's a you know, if we had that money, we'd do that. She like laid on a table at a fancy restaurant in LA, so they threw her in an insane asylum.
It's crazy.
And better lithium. I mean there's stuff in between that, but that's kind of the gist of the whole thing. I mean, but like it's like,
weird if that's,
I'm
like,
sorry, it's book. Not funny, but that was funny the way you said that.
But like
there's stuff in between there.
But I mean, yeah. Right, but it's not like a direct like that happened and that happened, but that's the kind of shit that like it led to. And Justin Timberlake is the biggest scam. I used to think it was Kid Rock is the biggest scam, but Justin Timberlake is the biggest scam. Like,
I still got to say it's Kid Rock, but
I don't know. That whole Jimmy Fallon, cute dancing on Saturday Night Live, dick in a box, all that shit. That guy is an absolute piece of shit. He's like a real piece of shit. And I kind of want to fight him. I want to fight him. I want to fight Kevin Federline, and I wanted to grab a group of people and go visit Britney's dad. And and because he can enjoy what it feels like to lose autonomy for a minute. You know what I mean? I won't do it for.
I want to see you fight Justin Timberlake now. Like Kevin Federline, that's not even a fight. Like that's just you can blow on that guy and he'll just fuck off. And I'm
what
sure
do you think? Fucking Timberlake has a chance against Ryan.
I'm sure Timberlake can't fight. I just want to.
I
want to
see that.
I want to. I do.
The other one would just be a fucking stomp.
No, Federline. But Federline would run away. Federline would run.
I want to see a real fight. Timberlake's gonna put up a fight.
Timber, he would not put up a fight.
No, he would have security take me down. But this just goes out. Anybody who knows Justin Timberlake. Or Kevin Federline, if they want to meet up with me and do the thing, you know, if you want to just like meet up behind some, but we don't have to televise it. We can all leave phones behind. We can do all those things. And
you know, they have to televise it.
JT, I'm just saying, JT, I'm here. I'm ready.
He's definitely like, you know what I want to do right now? Go fight that podcast guy.
Yeah. That guy that talks shit to me during his recommendations of all things.
Turks and Caicos is going.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm just pushing that domino. Balls in your court, JT. You know what I'm saying? Like balls in your court when you want to fight. I'm here.
This is like us saying, "Hey, Rob Zombie, if you ever want to come on the show and fucking plead your case, come on to the show." Like
we're gonna get that.
We'll get that. We will get that. I will make that happen. My non-recommendations are.
Oh, this is the fun part, right?
They're gonna go in order. We're gonna land on fighty order. I'm choosing violence right now. Everything violence is like, yo, can I just not be chose today?
So we're starting with
This is the least fighty, which you guys might even agree with. I watched that movie, The Killer, that David Fincher thing with
Fast. That movie.
That movie is fucking trash.
It's so boring.
And it's like so stupid. And it's so like, I hate movies. Like they did this, like that movie where Jason Statham is a transporter. Like they did it in that movie, but it doesn't matter because it's like the transporter doesn't like it's not trying to be serious.
Jason
but like
Statham, like
where there's this guy and he has like this like and he works in this like business and he has like this strict set of rules and then like immediately breaks all those rules just for like and for the thing. This is all that movie is, and it's really like it's just not good. It's just like I mean I watched the whole thing, but like it's just bad. And when I got over, I'm like I wasted my time with that. And so.
You remember what happened to Fassbender in fucking Eden Lake? This movie made me wish that happened to him in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
It's that bad. It's
ugh. All right, I'm not going to watch it.
And apparently he's an asshole anyways.
Take it off the table. His
fucking
stoked.
Last name is Fassbender. He sounds like a dick.
Who? Fassbender's a dick?
He's a piece of shit in real life.
Oh, great.
The first one, not fighty. All right.
The second one is Pete Holmes's new special.
Is good.
No, it's not. I just don't like it. I just think it was it came across as like old dude humor. I don't know. Like it's just
he
like
did one of my fucking closers,
wait,
so I
who?
Hate that. I hate that
wait,
special.
Who, yeah. who did you say?
Pete Holmes.
Oh, that shit is good. You're wrong on this one, Ryan.
No, I'm not. It's just bad. It's just bad. Like
I don't like the God part, but I love Pete Holmes.
It was just bad observational. Like I thought I would like he didn't do this joke, but like he's trying to do like a Gaffigan. And even Gaffigan's last special was like Gaffigan was making like Starbucks ordering jokes. You're like, bro, like, come on, guys, like, you got to dig a little deeper. Like, I just feel like it was just
Gaffigan really jumped up from the Hot Pockets jokes, fucking Starbucks ordering jokes. That's kind of calling. That's just right on the same.
I am just saying, I can watch a Gaffigan special and be like, it is what it is, and it's okay. And he just does this material, and it's fun. The last one was even a step down for him, and I feel like Pete Holmes was even a step down from that. Like, it was just like random, like I just hate like boomer, like, I can't believe people are doing this, you know what I mean? You're like okay,
to be fair, since this is the second level of fighty, I'm gonna kind of split the baby on this one between both of you, because there was, I would say, half of that special that I actually really liked. There was stuff that I did really like in the special. The other half of it made me want to put a gun in my mouth. So there's like, there's definitely both sides of that for me, but I'm also in general not a Pete Holmes fan. So like, right, the special itself was very Pete Holmesy, but this part of it, the half of it that I liked, I thought was actually very good, even for it being Pete Holmes. But then the other half that I didn't like, I very much didn't like because it was Pete Holmes doing his thing. Like, so it just, like, it was better than I expected it to be, but I didn't think it was good. And also, like I said, he basically does an entire joke that was one of my old closers that I haven't used for a very long time because it's a very hacky joke. So I was just like, oh, okay, I'm glad I dropped that joke. Like,
I liked it, but I've liked Pete Holmes since day one. So.
Yeah, a lot, he's got his fans.
I listen to his podcast. Like, when I started listening to podcasts, I listened to his more than I listened to Maron's.
Well, I barely listen to Maron's either, unless it's somebody I really like on it. The Shane Torres one is good.
Second one, it's a half fight.
It's a
split fight.
This one though is the fight, because we didn't end up fighting.
You said you were going to go in order. Yeah. So
the new Matt Rife special is terrible. Like, it's just a terrible special. I don't know what to say. Like,
oh, that's not going to make me fight.
Okay, because you posted defending it the other day, and I didn't post defending it.
I posted shitting on the hate that it was getting because it was really dumb hate. Okay. And yes, one of your statuses was one of the things that was really dumb.
Even though I said that I loved and I think Winnie the Pooh was amazing, it's not that. I was angry about the hate.
You can hate me for all you want, but I don't
care about Matt Rife too.
Yeah, Matt Rife is like, this special is terrible, and honestly, like, his TikTok stuff is what he is at this point. And yes, he has other material, and yes, he's been doing it since he's been like 15. And I'm not saying he is not a stand-up. I am just saying though that, like, I'm not like saying that he doesn't deserve a place in the stand-up pantheon, but sure. Because he is like an actual stand-up comic. Like, we've all known tons of people who've worked for him. I hear he's a really nice guy, this and that. And whatever he's doing now though to gain the fans that he wants to gain, I can even see it in his face. Like, that first, like, domestic violence joke he tells, like, I'm not, like, offended by it or anything like that, because
it was a dumb joke.
It's just a stupid, stupid joke. And you're just, like, at this rate, dude, like, where you are, I just don't, is that what he's going for? Is he going for, like, the Rogan, I'm trying to come up with a term that's, like, the opposite of clapter.
So,
which is like yapter, like, yeah,
right,
you know what I mean, like, right, yeah, but like yeah, fucking, he's making fun of the chicks getting punched in the face, like, I'm not even like offended by like the humor of that, like, whatever, like,
I mean, I've heard domestic violence jokes that are funny. That's not one. That's an old street joke,
right? Like, that's exactly.
Yeah, and I get where now this is not even going to be really a fight, because I agree with you that special was bad. Now, the reason that I made the post that I did about the hate that it's getting is because there's a couple of things to me that I thought were very funny. First off, the amount of hate that's coming out from people is hilarious, because there's so many people that are now trying to counteract the people that like him. that are just like, oh, fuck Matt Rife. And they don't have any reasons for it. They're just like, oh, fuck Matt Rife. Like, and it, most of it, honestly, most of it comes down to people that just think he's an attractive comic and they don't like that. It's the same shit that they did for Nikki Glaser. It's the same shit that they did for a lot of female comics. Sure. Oh, she's a hot chick. She's a bad comic. So that's what people did with the Matt Rife thing, too. Where they, oh, he's a hot guy. He's a bad comic.
And Dane Cook, too, I think.
Dane Cook, also, Dane Cook, this is, I've also said this for a long time. Dane Cook, when he was good in the beginning of his career, was actually very good. And then he got popular, and then he became very bad. Like, but he actually knew how to be a comedian. The Matt Rife thing that I do specifically kind of take an issue with is when people do shit on him and say, oh, you're just a crowd work comic, or you're just a TikTok comic, or you're only funny for 45 seconds at a time. All of that is bullshit, because he has proven material out there in the fucking universe that you can look up at any time that is very good. That's actual material. It's full specials. This one was dog shit. And half of the reason that this one was dog shit is because he didn't have enough material for it. He fucking recycled half of it. Mm-hmm. Half of the material that was on that special was recycled through one of the other ones. But the other two specials that he has out there are completely, and I'm not talking about his crowd work special, which was also like, it's called Walking Red Flag or something like that. It's a fucking stupid name. That one, that's a different thing completely. But his other two specials that he has out are actually very solid. Like, I wouldn't say they're great, but they're a fuck of a lot better than this Netflix one was.
But the whole thing about the, and that's all great that his first specials are great and things like that. But I think now he is a TikTok comic. Like, that's how he's making his money. Like, he's like doing, he's doing the, well, I, like, he's got a Netflix special, sure, but like, he's probably making more money from TikTok than he is from Netflix. So
Netflix, like, puts up weird comics though. Like,
well, he's also making more money. They give specials. They give weird. Arenas. They give. That's what he's making money off of.
I don't know. You can make a lot of money off of fucking TikTok, man. Like, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, there's creators out there.
That's just probably like, where he's making his money.
Yeah. Like, so I'm just saying, like, in my response was like, I just feel like he's a reels comic now. And it's like, everything's like more about like, I just want shot. Yes. He might have a history of it, but at this point in the game, that's his bread and butter. And that's what's getting him to sell out arenas. It's because the reason that people know him isn't from his first two specials. It isn't from that. It's because he has been a crowd work TikTok comic for this whole time. So whether he's, yes, he might be like the one of the greatest ever, but as it is right now, his fame and his success is built on that. And when he was selling out things and people were paying $300 to go see him and shit like that, and people were shitting on him, I'm like, fuck that, let him make his money. I don't care, that guy's a stand-up, he can do whatever he wants, but like, but I'm sorry, if people are paying $300 to go see you and you are a less proven entity than anybody else in that market, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to pay $300 and you're going to go get floor seats right up front in an arena show of Bill Burr, I'm going to be like, okay, you know, you want to see one of the current greats do it. I get it. Like, I'd love to see that. You know what I mean? Like, sure. But if you're Matt Rife and you're selling out comedy clubs, not arenas, not anything, but you're selling tickets to comedy clubs for $300,
which he's not,
but he, like, you are going to, like, he was at Helium and I looked at all his merch when he was here. Like, right. Like, he has like they were all ready for the truck to come pick it up. But like, it's just like cases and cases of shirts and shit like right. that. Like, he is a fucking machine. And like, I don't begrudge him any of that. All of it. All I'm saying is that special fucking sucked. And
it did suck.
And his focus now isn't on hour long specials. That's why his focus is on creating content. And like, as opposed
to if he was the exact same comic in every way, but his jokes were a little smarter, like same everything, beats, like everything, how would you feel?
I mean, I would probably feel different. Like, if you were able to just like pull dope ass reels out of like your great stuff. But if you're just like, I am just a content creator, I am basically a comedian influencer, which is basically what he is now. And like, and that's fine. Like, let him do that. But that doesn't mean that like, I can't shit. I'm not going to shit on a special that's clearly substandard.
Here's where I am going to fight with you, comic to comic. Okay. Because everything you said is valid. Okay. 100% valid. Grammy's like, see. So this is very much a comic to comic conversation, though, because the special sucks. I will agree with that. The special is not good. But again, with the material that he has out there, the majority of the material is much better than this. Okay. So he's already proven that he can have material. He can go up. He can do the hour long special. He can do the whole thing. He can do it twice. Okay. At least he's already proven that. My issue with this is that if he came out with that Netflix special and it was a fucking banger, okay, you would not be making the same argument that you're making right now. And you would not be saying he got famous from TikTok. That wouldn't even fucking come up. Wouldn't even mention that.
I'm not even really saying he's famous just from TikTok. He is like, there are other comics who are TikTok famous. Mateo Lin. Mateo Lin is a fucking beast of a comic. Besides that, I just think the focus now for Matt Rife is that he is a comedy influencer, and it's a different animal than the whole thing. And you know, Mateo kind of dips in that because he's definitely an influencer, because he is probably maybe the most common for a while there, at least, was probably the most common, like in my feeds and my TikToks and my reels. Mateo's shit was probably the most common that I saw. But Matt Rife kind of like really rode that crowd work TikTok fucking catastrophe that went on forever. And like it, and right. I'm just saying, like, his focus now, clearly by the content of that thing, isn't on, like, if you're recycling material, because there's only really like two comics with Netflix specials that I know of that have recycled material from a video. It's him and it's Cat Williams. And then, no disrespect to Cat, but that's just what Cat Williams kind of does. So like he's just gonna be like, he's like, oh, fuck it, man. I'll just fucking do it again. You know what I mean? Like, so if you're recycling material and stuff like that, I think that his focus in the past years is like, I'm gonna become TikTok famous. I'm going to make $1 million through that venture. I am going to make a, I am going to also use that to fill comedy clubs and sell merch. And then I'll put off this Netflix special, but I think that was definitely fourth or fifth on the list of like
I think the Netflix special, I think he was approached to do. I don't think that he actually sought out Netflix to do it. I think that was probably the other way around. I think
that's what Netflix does. Yeah.
No, they don't actually. So the thing is that they're saying that every single person, like, if you are waiting for Netflix to call you, they're never going to do it. So the thing, and absolutely they could have called him, but the way they pay you through Netflix is like how many tickets you sold last year.
Right
Are like basically a dollar per ticket is what you're gonna for get. Sure. So if you sold 50,000 tickets last year in touring, they're gonna give you $50,000 for your special and things like that. I'm sure he was able to, because of his massive online presence, probably able to get more than that. But Netflix does not call anybody. I mean, maybe they did. I mean of course, and somebody could argue with this me, but this is what I've heard, is that Netflix is not sitting around like with any lack of comics to put on their specials. And so
no, like, but they definitely try to like
capitalize on the current their thing.
I think that they would rather honestly,
like, why would they put Alana Glazer special up there?
Because I think she falls into like the perfect financial category. Because I think she doesn't sell a fucking ton of tickets, so they don't have to pay her enough. But she sells enough to pay. Like, I think it's an equation, like where it's like, it's like the restaurant really doesn't want you to buy the lobster. They'd rather have you buy the pasta, because the lobster they make $2 on, and the pasta dish they make $17 on. You know what I mean? Like, so
that makes sense.
So for every Bill Burr special, they have three other because Netflix also puts really random comics you've almost never heard of on there too, for content increase.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so that they don't have to give them a lot of money. Like, I think what they get off of that, just of having new stand-up specials for the people who just watch all new stand-up specials, is more important than like the 10 grand or 20 grand they have to give somebody. I'm saying, and they probably gave more to Matt Rife because of all the buzz around him and all his social media presence and all that stuff. That probably has whoever his team is clearly is doing well at that. I'm just saying, though, that like I think it's fair assessment to say, like, as a comic, like I guarantee you he writes his jokes right now to fit into reels.
So that's where I take issue with it, because my only real fighting point on this is, as a comic, to reduce another comic down to the thing that made them famous and just call them that is shitty.
And I get it, and we got like, and I get it, and I know that there's like the comics code of silence, and the version of code of silence,
it's not even where a comics code, it's just a cunty thing to say.
I'm just saying though that, like, I just think the quality of it wasn't great, and it just shows like where his focus is. And it's also a good idea of, like, as we all come up and we're all writing reels, like do you want to be good or do you want to make reels?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
The quality, do you think, was Stephen Wright would have been good at reels?
Maybe it might have been a little too short. And like a reel is better, I think, a little longer. Like his, considering his like our setup punchline, like almost in the same sentence. Like, yeah, it's like
there's,
it's
a,
like,
lot of waiting and stuff, though.
Mitch Hedberg would have been incredible.
Yeah, Jeselnik has great reels. You know what I mean? Because he's
so,
like,
it's not the TikToks or the reels that you're upset about.
No, I'm not upset that anybody's doing reels. Like, that's not the thing. I'm just saying, like, when you become like, this is like, I'm a reel making machine and this is how I make my money. Like, Anthony Jeselnik has only just started cutting up his shit into reels. Like, just because it was just the way it was. He just wrote the jokes he wrote and they just happened to fit really well into reels. You know what I mean? But like when you start to go like, oh, I need to write, like, I better not have anything over 137 or 180 because 90% of fucking people turn off the thing. And like, listen, do what you want to do. Matt Rife, do what you want to do. Hey, Matt Rife, I'll fucking feature for you. I don't give
a fuck.
I'm against that
because it's putting like blockers on yourself.
It's just not something that, like, and I think like poking, roasting it a little bit and just saying like, hey, like I'm 40 reels stuck together now, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I felt like it was, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, and I think that's a fair assessment of like, not a great special. And I'm not, you know, to be honest with you, like, I still stand by the fact, like, let the dude make his fucking money. I don't care. I think writing fucking low hanging domestic violence jokes is a little like,
you can call it what it is. It's hacky as shit.
It's hacky as shit. And it's definitely swiping at like Rogan audience. You know what I mean?
It's
like
irresponsible.
It's irresponsible. And it's just trying to gather up Rogan things and like, oh, look, he's not willing to stack up to the woke fucking collective.
Right.
That bullshit.
Well, it's even like what he said after the joke too, is he said, I just wanted to make sure that you guys were fun. And like, there are parts of the special that is dumb shit like that for sure. And there was a part in the special that people got pissed off about because he did an entire story about basically about a fat person in the aisle seat of an airplane. And like, here's the thing. I am the fat person in the aisle seat on the airplane. And guess what? I'm a whole fuck of a lot more of an inconvenience to you getting off of that plane during an emergency than somebody's fucking backpack. He was correct in that story. He was correct in that joke. Everything about that was 100% correct. And that's coming from somebody who is that inconvenience. I understand that 100%. And the way that he worded that, sure, he toyed around with the words a little bit too much and made it sound shittier than it needed to. But like, stuff like that is one of the things that people shit on him for. And I get it. I understand why they did. I understand why they shit on him for certain things that were in the special. My only issue that I had with not even specifically what you said, because what you said was kind of just also a thing that a lot of other people were saying, which was basically saying, oh, this special was shit, so that proves he's a real comic, or proves that he's a TikTok comic, or proves that blah, blah, blah. No, it fucking doesn't. It doesn't prove that he's a TikTok comic. It proves that he had one bad special out of three of them that he's put out within the last 5 years, which I wish that I had 3 hours of fucking material in 5 years.
What else do you get? You guys hate crowd work too, right?
I hate crowd work focused comedy, like, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, like Todd Barry.
Todd Barry's good.
Yeah, Todd Barry.
Jessica Kirsten's also good.
I like Todd Glass too. I like Todd's that do it.
I'm up and down on Todd Glass.
Todd Glass has that one where he only told two jokes and he just talked to the audience the whole time. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, I loved it. I think it's I'm gonna do another sports reference, but it's like a knuckleballer. it's cool because like the guys throw in something that's kind of crazy and different.
Right.
So like throwing like, you know what I mean? Like, because the ball's going up and down and blah 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 blah, you know, sidearm pitch or whatever they call it, like a submariner, but in the end, like being able to throw pitches and strikes to me is just way more interesting and way better. And like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I think
Todd Barry has never missed a single joke in his entire life.
Whoa, dude. Like, I think you want to marry Todd Barry more than I want to marry Ben Roy.
It's a Todd Barry reference, but he is.
It is.
He's really fucking, like, he is good. He's one of my favorites. Easy.
Crowd work
is the same way as I look at roasting. Roasting is great in small bursts, but if you're going to show me an hour of roasting, get the fuck off my TV.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see an hour of roasting. Maybe 20, 30 minutes at most. Like, yep. And when I see, like, celebrity roasts, that's a whole different story because it's, like, people coming up there for, like, 3 minutes at a time or whatever. That's different. But if it's one fucking dude that's on stage that's doing the roasting the whole time, that's really boring really quick. And the thing with crowd work is that if somebody does a whole shitload of regular material and then decides to come out with a crowd work special, like I said, Jessica Kirsten just did a full crowd work special that's on YouTube. She is one of my favorite comics of all time. I can only sit through about 30 minutes of that because after about 30 minutes, I don't care how funny you are. It's just like, this is still crowd work. So it's just like, okay, like I've hit my limit. I'll watch the other 30 minutes later. But like, just sitting there and watching it. Yeah,
Kurt Metzger, the roasting version of that.
Kinda. Yeah. Kurt Metzger will do a crowd work that's just all roast.
No, he just roasts everything. He's just always
angry. He sets fire
and making fun of stuff. Right.
Like, I think it's like freestyle hip hop competitions, roast battles, crowd work. It's all like interesting in a heartbeat, but there's a reason why a lot of like it is what it is and it's not something different. I mean, like, you can be impressed by it and enjoy it, but I feel like for me, I just prefer like old school joke writers, people coming up with concepts and like things like that. Like, it's a little bit of a parlor trick and it's just kind of not my. I mean, I can watch it for a thing, but I don't feel fulfilled as a comedy special as if I watch like a top quality comedy special. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
And so I'm, that's where I'm at. I think I would rather see crowd work though than heckle videos because those are the fucking nightmare. And then everybody thought they were cool heckler after that. So fuck that.
That was also
name this very name this episode. Stick around for the comedy.
Spoiler alert,
we gotta go.
Spoiler alert, there's 45 minutes of comedy afterwards.
It's supposed to be a short episode. Give a shout out to the only people that matter out there. Michael Foley, Drew Muldowney, Stephanie Gurley, Katie Wiking, Chris Fortune, Alan Graham, Bacon Bits the Cat, Angela, Jasmine Pettit, Jason Daniels, Jake Jolly, Mom, Ron Knobloch, Kristen Pearl, Manny Velasquez, Coleman Rosenberg, Ryan Smith, Jared Warren, Michelle Vizina, I think I got that right, and Brandon Housen. Those are all our Patreon members, or the Army of the Goddamned. So we want to give them a shout out.
Fuck yeah.
Because we love them and they rule.
And a handful of you have some packages coming your way soon. I actually am going to be packing those up in the next couple of days. Now that I have my time off of work for the holiday, I will be putting together your physical media packages to send them out to you for everybody that was in that drawing. So you guys fucking rule.
Same update next week.
Yep. They'll go actually see, be mailed by then, though.
Go see Thanksgiving. Seriously. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, all right.
Start fires, break glass. Bye.